Our next session is going to look at forest industry inventory and what's available out there, what are the stats on materials in the wood supply sector. And we're pleased to have James Bentley from the Forest Industry, what is it? The Forest Industry Analysis Unit of the U.S. Forest Service out of Knoxville. And James first gave a presentation to us in 2006, which we still have available, so if you want to do some comparison, we can do that with you. But we're very pleased to take a new look at the latest data on the forest inventory and what's available and can be available given the current need and demand for wood fiber in the country. So, James?
Thank y'all for having me. I promise mine's not going to be as entertaining as the last. I work with the U.S. Forest Service, the Southern Research Station, stationed out of Asheville, and our work unit is the Forest Inventory and Analysis Group, and we're stationed in Knoxville, Tennessee. But we work in partnership with all the with the states in the South. The states are actually our data collectors now. They gather our continuous forest inventory research plots. And the biggest thing, we're in the research branch of the Forest Service, so we're not affiliated with the forests, the national forest, like Talladega National Forest, or we survey all lands, all ownerships, non-forest, forest, water. We have like a honeycomb grid that lays across the nation, and we survey a plot in each one of those honeycombs. So a little bit of background on the inventory itself. It's a mandated by the Farm Bill that we do an annual survey of land across the United States, but our little group just does the southern states. But so that's we report to the RPA, which is that national assessment. But we go out on these plots and we gather data, and then we revisit that plot in 5 years. So, well, most states it's 5 years, but some states it's seven. But there's a remeasurement period there. So from those plots, we get data such as area and volume, which, you know, classifying the land as how much forest land's out there, how much volume's associated with that forest land. But then we go back and remeasure them, we get what we call GRMs, which is the growth, removals, and mortality associated with that plot. So it can kind of, it's kind of like your checkbook. You can say, okay, we've got this much forest out there, we lost this much, but we added this much, so now we got this much. And so that's kind of like the big picture of inventory. That's what we're doing. But the department that I'm kind of working with, we deal with the removals, which is these three green pieces right here. Well, we think removals is a little more important than that, so we give them three pieces instead of just two. But removals is something that you can't see the whole picture from the field crews. The field crews go out there and they see the trees cut, and they're either left in the woods or they're a stump there and they're gone. So they can tell us, say, okay, we got this amount of volume has gone. It's being utilized, and this amount of volume is still laying in the woods. So that's where the TPO study, the timber product output studies, which is a mill industry assessments. We canvass the primary use of mills in the South, and utilization studies come into play. We take that removals estimate and we define it. We say, okay, this amount went for what product, this amount was left in the woods. So direction. So I throw up a little flow chart here just to kind of show you that piece of removals. That's the so from the inventory plots, the crews give us a county of origin, they give us a land use, is all associated with that plot. It's an ownership, who the owner is of that plot. If it's, we don't give an exact owner, it's like an owner class, private, you know, state government. We get species and diameter class and tree class, a rough grade of that tree. And they tell us if that volume was utilized or not utilized. And then there's another category called other removals. So, and other removals is kind of a special case. It's like a national park has acquired more land. So we give it a one-time removal. It's been removed from the timber base. So it's volume that's been removed, but it may or may not have had trees removed off of it. A Walmart parking lot. We don't know if the trees got used or just piled up and burnt. So some of those go into the other removal, that special case for other removals. We don't exactly know if it made it to the mill or not. But then we do the forest industry surveys. And in the South, we do those for the pulp mills. We do them annually. We survey the pulp mills annually, and we ask them how much volume they bring in and from what county they brought it in from. That way, we can take that volume and disperse it back out to the counties they draw from. So we're not given a mills level production at that point. We're given a county's or an area's production. Then that compares to our inventory because it's at a county level. So whatever our mills are telling us, you know, they compare. And we also get a species breakdown from the mills. A big key for that is imports exports. We see what kind of woods crossing state lines, crossing regional lines, going up north, leaving the country. Just numbers and types of mills. And then a biggie for like y'all folks is the residues that come from those mills and how those residues are used. And the biggest thing that does is if I back up one here, you see it says utilized volume down there at the bottom. As soon as we do these utilization studies, it puts a product mix to that utilized volume. So we take that volume that the crews say is removed and we put a product mix with it. We say, okay, so much went for solo, so much went for veneer or composite panel or pellets or whatever. And we produce state level reports and a Southern Pulpwood report. Kind of a standalone for each state and for the Southern Report or for the Southern Pulpwood. And then we do utilization studies, and these are fell tree operations. We go out on active logging jobs and we measure the trees, how the logger says they're going to utilize that tree. And this helps us build over and under utilization factors, which goes over here to refine this number here, because that's the volume the crew said was left in the woods. But everybody knows that just because that tree left, there's part of that top and there's parts of that stump of the tree that left is still there too. So these over and under utilization factors we build, we apply to the volume, and it makes that logging residue at that time. And we produce and we get some demographic stuff like numbers of loggers and size of logging crews, and you know, so we try to. We're working with a lady in the Auburn work unit, and she does like demographics of loggers, like if they're, you know, what's the average size of a logging crew in the South? You know, what's the likelihood that the next generation is going to take over, you know. So we gather some additional information for her and provide, and just to kind of help her data set with the logger demographics. And then we get a residential fuel wood, which is for household consumption, because we don't survey that ourselves. We survey fuel wood that's going to a mill, but we don't survey the fuel wood that's going to people's fire, unless it's a industrial firewood producer, you know, we'll survey those, but if it's just somebody going out and cutting a tree and burning it in their home, we get that number from the DOE, and that gives us, basically builds the total total harvest picture. So a little more on the TPO studies. For the Forest Service, as I was saying, we work in partnership with the 13 southern states, and we're looking at this as another way of harvest removals, and it's a check against our inventory, and it's helping to categorize the products coming from inventory and the cross-regional regional drain. And the states, they use the data that they gather to also build their buyer's guides for industrial expansion, trying to encourage industry in their state. They're more concerned with the cross-state movement than the regional, but they like to see how much wood's leaving their state, how much they're getting from other states, and the residue information. So primary wood using mills in the South in 2011, we're right now gathering 2013, so it should be out hopefully early next year. We have to kind of wait till the year's over before we can canvass the mills, but there's approximately 1,416 mills with the output of 7.236 billion cubic feet. Just a little fun fact, that's 9.3 million truckloads of wood a year, 3,700 truckloads per day, and roughly 2,860 something truckloads per state per day wood leaving the South, or going to a mill in the South, leaving the woods in the South, I should say that. This is kind of how we've tracked over since 1960. You can see our height was in the 99 to 2003 era, and then we had our economic downturn here that kind of killed the sawmills, and I'm pretty sure y'all felt that from not having residue to buy. And we're seeing that come back, and I think in 2013 it'll come back a little more, and I don't know that we'll be back to the levels of 2003, but we should be going that direction. This is kind of how the states in the South rank. You can see Georgia's on top, a little over 1.2 billion. And you can kind of see how they rank there. This is how it ranks out by product. As you can see, pulpwood, up till 99-2003 era, pulpwood and sawlogs were really neck and neck. I mean, one would be leading and the other one would be leading. What you can see is during the economic downturn, sawlogs took the hit and pulpwood didn't take the hit as bad. Veneer and composite panels also took a pretty good hit. Now, I would mention here that one kind of rule we have to go with is 3 mills per state to be able to show it as its own product. So a lot of the pellet mills, mulch mills that bring in round wood, this is primary mill, so they're bringing in round wood, producing mulch or producing pellets or producing energy. They're gonna fall in this other category because we can't divulge their production for that state until we have 3 mills, so we protect their confidentiality. So that volume's in that 3% right there. So talking about sawmills, a little over 1,100 mills, and the sawlog output was 2.4 billion cubic feet in 2011. Roundwood production since the 60s, you can see sawmills took a huge hit in the 2007 survey, and 2009 survey, sorry.
We can't see from back here. What's the yellow line versus the green line?
I'm sorry. The yellow line is softwood, and the green line is hardwood. So As you can see, hardwood wasn't affected as bad. I mean, percentage-wise, it was affected as bad, but it just doesn't show up that much. But we're starting to slightly gain back. As you can see, the increase between 9 and 11 for the sawmills is it's not much. They haven't recovered like the pulp mills. Same way in this chart, the green's softwood and the green's hardwood and the yellow softwood, and that's how the states rank for sawlogs. In pulp mills, there's 81 pulp mills in the South, and they're almost 3.9 billion cubic feet. As you can see, in 2009, 2007, they didn't have a decrease. The decrease came for the pulp mills and that's kind of the reason you can see an uptick right here. It's upticking. Their decrease came in the type of volume, the type of material they bought. They went from getting what we call mill residues from sawmills and other mills to having to get more roundwood. So that's the reason they kind of do an uptick on this chart, because this is showing primary wood, you know, wood coming from the woods instead of residues from other mills. So they actually had an uptick during those times. Even though total production for them was down because they lost a lot more residue. And again, that's how the states rank for those veneer, composite, and plywood mills. About 60 veneer mills, 388 million cubic feet. They took a pretty good hit, and as the sawmills, they're not recovering. And this is about one chart that Georgia and Alabama don't rank the highest on.
What exactly is a veneer log?
It's a peeled log or a sliced log for making plywood. Like, they either peel it for the core material, they peel it for the outer material, and they slice it as well, and that's for like the laminate flooring and stuff, you know, for the composite panel mills. There's 23 in the South for 395 million cubic feet. We've only been tracking those since 91. And as you can see, they took a little bit of a hit, but it wasn't as they're recovering. They're kind of like a pulp mill. They take the of course they don't take mill residues as much as pulp mills do, because it's a little bit different process. Instead of chipping process, it's like a flaking process. So they can't get the residues from the sawmills. And then the other mills, and around 139 mills and 243 million cubic feet. And like I say, this, it's hard to go by these percentages or these upticks in here, because as states lose mills, we have to add them to others. So it's just, I put it out there as a trend line, but it's hard to draw anything from it, because 2009, there may be mills in 2011 that were as part of a product the last time. Then a pretty important part of the thing is the mill residues, and that's kind of, I guess, a lot of y'all have a lot of interest in that. It's the bark and the shavings and the sawdust, and of course the coarse material. So we had an industrial, which is the roundwood, was 7.23 billion cubic feet. Well, the byproducts used in the South, which just doesn't include Texas, because they're kind of a special case. They collect their own data, and they don't gather the mill residue data. So we, this number doesn't include Texas. But basically 2.1 billion cubic feet of residues were also used by the mills in the South. So that brings the total output coming from those mills at 9.3 billion cubic feet. And these, as you can imagine, the biggest portion of these residues come from the salt, the milling of saw logs. So 68% of that is from the milling of saw logs. Coarse material makes up 39% of that, followed by bark. And this is probably the one that everybody likes. This shows you how that mill residue was sold or was used. And as you can see, 50% of it was used for industrial fuel. Well, industrial fuel is kind of a catch-all for anything that went for a fuel wood. So any wood that went to a pulp mill, burning their boilers, any pellet mills fall in there, any residue that goes to a pellet mill. And that's a, if I hit the right button, that's considerably different than the last time. I mean, that's going way up. It used to be fiber products took a little bit of this share, but the biggest take on here is less than 1% of it's not used. There's very little mill residue that doesn't have a home way before it's ever milled. I mean, it's they've got contracts to fill with different play. I mean, y'all know this better than I do, and. So that's where the some folks draw some kind of weak conclusions, because they'll say, oh, there's all this mill residue laying around, you know, we can have it for free if we'll haul it off. Well, no, you can't. I mean, not in the South anyway. You might in other areas where they're not using it, but the South, it's got a home. The next thing is these TPO studies have kind of went national. We've always, or for years, we have reported nationally. So we all had regional methods and we reported at a national scale. But now we're gathering the data and processing the data, and we're doing the whole gamut nationally, consistently. And there's talks in the hires to be that they would like to see it annually, which that would be a considerable investment on their part, because it's basically gonna double the work in the South, and in like the northern region, they do their surveys every 5 years, so it's gonna increase their workload 5 times. So there's been talk about coming up with ways of sampling the mills and drawing some conclusions, and then doing a full survey every so often. The next little piece we tackle is the utilization studies, which we go out on these active logging operations. We do about 80 operations per state per cycle. So if they're on a 5-year cycle, we'll do 80 in 5 years. So that's roughly 15 to 20 for each state annually. And on these operations, we ask the logger how they utilize the bot, or how they're utilizing the trees, how they're getting their products out, if they're taking saw logs and pulpwood. Pulp logs, but we're also putting our FIA standards on it, which is for saw logs is a 1-foot stump, and for between sawlog and pole timber size materials, 7 or 9, according if it's sawlog or softwood or hardwood, and then a 4-inch top. Well, anybody that knows logging knows that this isn't how a log lands on a truck. Most of the time, they're cutting the stump off as close as they can to the top of the ground, and they're taking the top as down as far as the mill allows. So that's where those over and under utilization factors are built from. The 1-foot stump to the 4-inch top is how our volume equations are figured. So the over and under utilization factors are applied to capture this material that was overutilized, or in cases where they high stump it, if they underutilize it, or if they, you know, back years ago when they cut the first log and left everything else laying in the woods, they would be underutilization at the top. So we try to put what the logger's doing on top of our method. So we get a good picture. And like I said, it's the ability's over and utilization factor for growing stock and non-growing stock, and basically it refines that logging residue, how much wood's left laying out there in the woods. Data we give set characteristics, I guess, for the logging going on in the South is kind of a little thing we get just because we do the studies. I mean, we get average stump heights, we get average DBHs by product, we get average bowl lengths, which is from that distance from a 1-foot stump to a 4-inch top, and we get the average end of utilization where they're stopping these trees at. So these are some of those additional questions we ask just to try to tie it back to the inventory a little bit more. It's like the harvest area, it's like the track size, the forest type, and these are all codes that go back to our inventory so we can compare dry ridges to dry ridges for physiographic class and stand origin. We can compare planted stands to planted cuts. And then we do this the logging equipment, the logger demographics is for that lady in Auburn. These studies are also going to a national method. Of course, we were the only ones doing these studies, so basically the Southern methods have been adopted nationally, so we kind of felt proud of that. And we're also working with a biomass equation group to try to get away from some of the conversions we have and be able to take a diameter and a total length and come up just be able to compute a biomass, total tree biomass, instead of computing a board feet, which computes a cubic feet, which computes a tons, which goes back to, it's just a whole lot of converting. They're trying to come up with just weight equations. A lot of our publications can be found, or all of our publications can be found at which you can make this available. And the other thing I want to show y'all, the inventory has it's called an invalidator program, and you can go on there and you can do little county runs, and you can figure out how much yellow pine volumes in a certain number of counties, by ownership, by any level of different things. We also have a TPO database, and it's this data at a county level, and you can do I put a few slides in here just to kind of show you. So when you go to that website, you'll come up to this page, and you can go down there and click on the SRS, or you can go to the national, and that'll give you all the data we have for the nation. But it allows you to, first off, you'll see how much data we have in there, the different years, and for what reports they're in, if you wanted to look up the hard copy reports. But the biggest thing is it allows you to pick North Carolina. You can pick all the counties in North Carolina, or you can pick all the counties in Kentucky and North Carolina. Or you can pick a certain amount of counties in North Carolina. So you don't, it's more than just a state level number. You can, and the real beauty is you, well, I didn't do an example of that, but you can pick certain counties in each state. So if you were sitting on the border of Georgia and Alabama and your draw area is 100 miles, you know, and it crosses state lines, you can pick all those counties and see where the wood has been going, you know, if you're looking to expand or move or, and you can do a, like a lot of those charts I had, you can do multiple years in there. So for every year we have data, you can kind of build a trend table. And then it gives you a set of core tables that are, it's basically the tables that are in our reports, but it's for the area that you specify. So it's a really neat tool. It's very, very handy. It complements the inventories tool. We're getting a lot of mill expansion questions coming our direction, you know, asking about the resource and where to find the resource and what's been the history of the draw of that resource in that area. So the inventory side can show them the resource, and we can show them what's traditionally happened with that resource. And that's a look at one of those tables. Any questions?
James, that utilization chart that you had there where biofuels went to 50%, I believe the chart we had last time was 48.
Okay.
And a number I heard 2 weeks ago was 63.
Okay.
But I don't know what they were counting in that 63.
Yeah.
So you think it's still at 50%?
Well, for 2011, I mean, it could be two years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, here in another couple months,
it can,
I mean, 2013 data will be ready and then we'll know.
What are you guys figuring as far as, you know the advent of the pellet mills and the other biofuel operations that are all coming online? Mm-hmm. What is your anticipation in terms of usage?
Well, the biggest problem for us is the collection of those, because the pellet mills aren't as difficult as the bioenergy facilities, that just little bioenergy facilities here, there, and about. Almost every university around's got a bioenergy facility with it. Okay, most of them are running off mill residues, but what happens when they, we're going to get us a grinder in here, and we're going to start grinding up round wood, and that's the problem for us, is gathering the data. Now, the scuttlebutt years ago was they were going to come in and be able to live on logging residue and unused mill residue, and you know they weren't going to affect everybody else. You said that, I did. there's no mill residue left. They can get mill residue, but they're going to be affecting other folks when they get that mill residue. And same with, so therefore they're going to have to compete for roundwood as well.
Which will eventually continue to drive roundwood prices up.
Yes. I'm not an economist and I don't do this. But I'm saying that's pretty close.
You did very well. Total inventories are growing.
What's that?
Total inventories growth less mortalities and removals
mm-hmm.
is growing?
That's net.
Yeah.
Net. That's net volume.
Mm-hmm. It's growing.
Yeah.
By how much?
I had a chart one time, and it, they kind of showed like the bank account and, you know, our volumes, and I can't remember that huge amount of number, but the removals is like 3% of it and per year, right? And the growth was like 7 or 8%. So we're still growing more than we were cutting. Now, that's over a big scale. There are areas where that percentage is really close. And I mean, in localized areas. So I mean,
due to what?
A lot of activity.
Availability of logging crews or demand of mills.
Demand. So there are areas that are they're really close, and I'd hate to say if there's any going over, they're cutting more than they're growing. But I know I've heard other analysts say that there's areas that are close. Anything else?
Do you have a way to cross check if that inventory, the total inventory, is right by a Google aerial view and something like that, and then try to check the numbers?
The total inventory?
Yeah.
We do. They, like the area, a lot of the estimates are based off of area, so they do a remote sensed area and then a ground truth area. So there is correct cross checks there, because the rest of it's just what's measured on the plots blown up by the area. Because most plots, which that's the reason anybody talks about FIA will tell you, you can't look at Haywood County, North Carolina and get a good number, because there's not enough area there. You got to get a group of counties. It's a broad scale inventory. So if you're trying to localize around one county, you're not going to get a good number. If you add several counties with it, it brings your error associated with it down, because you get more area, more plots.
The 2013 data is going to be available in a couple of months, and it'll string out over all those tables you showed in the available database.
Yes.
So we could start plotting.
And if you go onto that database, you won't even see the 2011 right now, because we're in this state of switching to national. So our database works from 2009 back, but we ain't got the newer stuff in there yet. So it's not actually available, but hopefully in like the next month or so it will be. Okay. And then as soon as we get all our mill data, then it would just be a continuum. It would go back to the way it was, and you know, roughly 6 months to a year after we get done collecting the data, it'll be populated.
You had a table in there for residuals?
For residual. Yeah, there's tables on the TPO database that do residuals. In fact, I think if we go back to that list, the way it's marked, there's about three tables there.
Okay.
Or four. Yeah. And I think we got some. If you go on down, so there's all these are like state level tables, and then down here you'll see county tables with C's in front of them, and that's county level. If you selected a group of counties, it'll be the counties you selected. And there's some county level residual tables as well.
Ah.
But if you see that as a tool and you need help with it, we got folks in our office that there are our special data services folks, and they, if they can't answer the questions, then they come to us and we can help you through it.
Good.
And we've worked with a couple of industry expansion projects. You know, we can't really tell you what to do, but we can provide you the data for you to make your own judgment calls on. So we worked with a couple of those preparing maps and tables and stuff.
Good. Any more questions? Thank you, James.
We've got a break, but then we've got the business meeting at 4 o'clock, and it's 3:10. How about we do the business meeting at 3:30?
Or how about 3:11?
How about 3:12?
Okay.
I gotta make a stop.
All right.